be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, when we get to our reading, the Old Testament reading for this evening, it's easy to forget. Moses was actually 80 years old when this happened. Think about it. He lived a long and quiet life for the most part. We know that he ran into some trouble in his youth, which is a shame. His family was really important. Well, the family that adopted him, Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, there wasn't a more important Hebrew so close to Pharaoh since the time of Joseph, almost 400 years before. But Moses was a little hot-headed in his youth. And he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and he killed an Egyptian. So he had to run away from it all. And that's where he met Jethro, a man of God, a priest of Midian. Well, actually, he met Jethro's daughters. And that's a funny story for another time, but I guess Jethro really liked him because he ended up marrying his daughter, Zipporah. That all happened when Moses was 40. At least smarter people than me say that happened when he was 40. But he settled down there. He had a family there. And for the next 40 years, well, Moses' life probably looked a lot like the scene we see at the very beginning of our text. He's tending sheep on the side of the mountain. And I'm sure if you went up to Moses just before the central events of tonight's reading and told him, you know, God's about to send you to Egypt. Everything about your life is going to change. Could you just imagine what he might have said? Change? Everything about my life? I'm 80 years old. Go back to Egypt? Why would I want to go back to Egypt? Everything I need is right here. And could we blame him, really? I mean, we all hate change. Just think of Sunday. We changed into daylight savings time, and many of us are still recovering from that. I know I myself, I had to have one cup of coffee before church, one cup of coffee on the ride to church, and I still needed an afternoon nap. But sometimes God is the one who is changing us. And those changes are a little bit less drastic at times. They're certainly not always like the change that happens in today's reading where God is speaking to Moses directly. But there are always things that we can change. Maybe we've been neglecting our personal devotional life. We need to read Scripture more. We need to pray more to God about those issues that are bothering us. Maybe there's a sin that we've been neglecting. And for us Lutherans, it's no secret that there's a word that's almost a bad word around our parts. It's evangelism. And we all could do a little bit more of that. But for Moses, the man who is already 80 years old, tending sheep on the side of the mountain, probably like any other day, God was about to change everything. And it all starts with God's presence. We've heard the story so many times that we really overlook what happens. We think, yeah, God talks to Moses through a burning bush. But that's not what our scripture reading said. It said an angel of God. And if Eric Stancliffe were here, his ears would have perked up just a little bit. If you're in his Bible study, maybe you know what I'm getting at. If you don't remember, if you're not in that Bible study, when we read about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, well, a lot of people, again, smarter than me, would say that that's Jesus. Not Jesus the man, Jesus the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity who was with God in the beginning, by whom all things were made. The Word of God that is God. And that changes everything. And that's the beginning of every change. And it really is the center of every change God intends for our lives. And it seems a lot more boring for us because the Bible didn't burst into flames as PJ was reading it. We don't have to take our shoes off and kneel before we come to the communion. But God's presence is there. And that's where everything changes. Why does it change? Because God has a plan. And why does God have a plan? He tells Moses himself, I've seen the suffering of my people in Egypt, and I'm going to do something about it. And you know what? I really love what Exodus 2 says. It's the verse right before our reading for tonight. It says, God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Wow. God knew their suffering and their affliction, and he was about to do something. And he sees our suffering, our affliction, and we know that he's done something about it. That's why we're all here tonight. We know that Jesus would go to the cross and die for us. And you know what? Moses knew the plan as well because God told him from the burning bush directly what was going to happen. And he goes into great detail. Yeah, you're going to tell Pharaoh that you're going to need to take the people of Israel to worship me. But he's going to say no. And that's when I'm going to come in with a mighty hand, with mighty acts, and I'm going to save my people. And you're going to lead them. And this is really something important about the plan God has to change our lives and the plan that God enacts. It's not really about what we're doing. It's about God and about what he is doing and what he's already done for us. God's doing all the heavy lifting. Moses just has to go and talk to Pharaoh. He has to go and talk to the people of Israel. And that's why I bring up evangelism. I brought it up earlier. I don't know what God has in store for each and every one of your lives, and we'd be here all night if I tried to give my best guess, and you probably wouldn't want me to do that anyways. But we all have received a commission from God. Just as Moses tonight receives a task and a commission from God, we have a commission, as Jesus tells us, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to teach all as I have commanded you. And how do we respond to hearing that? When we hear the good news that we're saved, when we hear in the text that God's going to save his people Israel, it excites us. But then it's time to get to work. And maybe our response is a lot like Moses's: questions, doubts, fear. And it's funny, Moses knows the plan. God tells him everything that's going to happen, and he still has fear. For us, we know that God is in control, but it can be really hard to trust that it's his plan. And I'll tell you a story from my first year in seminary that I think really highlights a moment where I was afraid of what God had in store for me. It was before I came here to help out as a field worker. As part of my assignment, I did monthly devotionals at two nursing facilities. One was just a retirement home, and that was really easy for me. I loved it. But the other facility, it was a challenge for me. And starting out, I had a little bit of fear going in there because it was a rehabilitation center. A lot of the people there, they were struggling with physical and mental disabilities that were just crippling them. They had very few people to care for them. And I still remember stepping in that building for the first time, the fluorescent lights, they were buzzing loudly. I'm sure you know what I mean when you walk into a building and the lights just buzz. And it smelled like an old building. And at that moment, I thought, how am I going to be of any use to these people? What can I do for them? What am I even going to tell them? Yeah, we're going to sing some hymns. We're going to do some liturgy, but am I really going to tell them about Jesus in this place? But they had a need. They needed to hear the good news. And by the time I ended my time there, I really loved going there and getting to know the people there. And it was a highlight of my week. But at the time, I was afraid something needed to change. For Moses, in our story tonight, he has some doubts, hesitations, and fears, and maybe they're mostly well-founded. I mean, if he went back to Egypt, they might kill him. He's a wanted man, and he's even worried about what he's going to tell the people of Israel. Who am I going to tell sent me? But here's the thing about God's plan. It always circles back to God's presence because God never leaves us. And when we find ourselves the most challenged, when we need God the most, he even gives us provision. Tonight, it happens as Moses is told. Okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take my people and you're going to worship me. Wow. When we gather in worship, we get our provision. We center around that presence, that word of God again. And furthermore, God gives Moses something else. And it seems like maybe a foolish question for Moses to ask. He asks, you know, when I tell them that the God of our fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob sent me, who am I going to tell them sent me? I don't even know your name, God. And God says, I am that I am. That's a funny name. Really, what am I going to tell them? Tell them that I am sent you. And here's the thing about that statement. It's not just the name God wants Moses to tell them. And really, it's not a name that's used often afterwards to describe God, because God has another name, Yahweh, and as we know him, he's Jesus. We also know him as the Trinity, the triune God. How often do we really call him I am? Really, what I think God is doing there, he's giving Moses a reminder, a token, that when he goes to tell them what he's going to do, when he's engaged in God's plan, God is not going to leave him. So, what is it that God wants us to do? What is God's plan? Again, I really couldn't tell you. I can tell you that God has given us something to do, and that's tell others about Jesus. Because, let's face it, there's somebody right now who is at home, and they're in a lot of pain. Things aren't going the way they expected. You know, they've tried church before, but, you know, they just don't want to be told that the problem is them. And they think it's all about what you do for God. That person, he could be waiting for someone to tell them that it's actually about what God has done for them in Jesus. So, the encouragement I give you from our story today about Moses is that whenever that opportunity arises, if you don't know anything else, know that God is with you. And we'll see what God can do. In the coming weeks, we're going to see what God does with Moses, the work God does, the plagues that he sends, and the mighty act that he takes to save us. And as we draw closer to Good Friday, we'll constantly go back to to what Jesus has done for us. So may the Spirit be with us as we engage in His plan that changes everything. Amen.